Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Sports Wisdom Department.
Wait, before we get to Sports Wisdom, I find it curious that this is a radio show where people call us and ask us questions about cars, right? Well, and what were we just talking about before the mics came on? We were both talking about what's wrong with our respective vehicles. this is happening to mine. The charges, the system's not working. It's pretty sad.
Well, the real question is, who do we call?
Who do we call? Right? I call you when I have a problem.
I know enough not to call you.
All right, back to Sports Wisdom. We have here from David Leventhal from God Only Knows Where, a bunch of quotations presumably made by people in sports. Now, you know how much I love sports. Not only sports, but the people involved in sports, because they are such men of such erudition, men that you... What I love more than anything is hearing guys say, well, if we're going to get to the playoffs, I guess we're going to have to win a lot of games. No kidding.
Yeah, we're going to take this one game at a time. Oh, is there any other option?
Well, here are a few real quotes. Here we go.
We're going to try to win two games with the next game we play.
Shelby Metcalf, basketball coach at Texas A&M, recounting what he told a player who received four Fs and one D for grades. Son, looks to me like you're spending too much time on one subject. Frank Layden, Utah Jazz president, on a former player. I told him, son, what is it with you? Is it ignorance or apathy? And he said, coach, I don't know, and I don't care. Here's my personal favorite. Pat Williams, Orlando... this is a good one. Pat Williams, Orlando Magic general manager, on his team's 7-27 record. We can't win at home. We can't win on the road. As general manager, I just can't figure out where else to play. I love it. All right.
Well, if you have some of your own wisdom to share with us,
yes, please call do.
Please share with us 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Michaela. I'm in Arlington, Texas. How are you guys?
Michaela.
Yes.
Does it have an A in the middle of it, or is it just ELA?
It's ALA.
MICHALA?
That's correct.
That's not Michaela. That's Michaela.
No, it's Michaela.
Whatever you say, dear.
I'm going to tell my mom to call you. And
oh,
tell
no,
you
no, that's all right.
Because she came up with the spelling.
She did.
Yes, she did.
I mean, what national origin is she?
She is Irish.
Well, that answers it.
Well
that explains everything. What does she know about Michaela?
All she knows is she heard the name when she was young and liked it and decided to name a daughter that.
Yeah.
So,
I like it.
Anyway, what's up?
This last New Year's Eve, I parted ways with the Toyota MR2, which had served me very, very well for 10 years, mm-hmm. and bought a Camry.
Brand new?
It was a year-end model.
Yeah.
Had about 5,800 miles on it.
Good.
I drive it quite a bit, but then when I took a longer road trip where it was like, I drove to Austin, which is like 3 hours away.
Yeah.
And when I got up, and it's all highway, so of course you get the radio going, and you're talking in the car. You're not listening, and plus it's like a new car, you know? Who listens to a new car?
Exactly.
So we get down there, and I get off the highway to pull into a gas station, and the engine is making a noise that sounds like, choke, choke, I'm not getting any oil. I'm like, no, this can't be. I've heard this sound before, and it was like right before I had to put a new engine in a car. And I'm going, no, this can't be true.
Oh.
And so I'm thinking, oh, golly. So when I get back, I bought the 100,000-mile warranty.
Good.
And I called the dealership, and I said, well, just doesn't sound happy. And they say, change your oil more often. And I change it. Like, this car, I change it like every 2,500 miles just to be, you know,
did
really
they actually
sure
talk
that
like that?
Everything's going to be fine, and it'll last forever.
Michaela, did they talk like that? Oh, change your oil more often. Are you just making fun of mechanics in general?
I'm making fun of them, and I'm terribly sorry because they didn't sound like that at all because they're from Texas. So, anyway. They said it a little slower. They said it a little reassuringly, like, no big deal. You
know? Okay.
and all that kind of stuff.
What is this noise exactly?
It just sounds like a clatter, not a real loud clatter, but it sounds like there's like a valve knocking or something.
Yeah. And it speeds up as you speed up the engine, right? So it's a click, 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 and then if you rev up the engine, it goes click, 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 it goes faster?
Yeah.
Okay.
You hesitated there.
Well, because I don't hear it every day because I don't drive at least 100 miles.
And it only happens when you drive the car the greatest distance. Is this a four-cylinder Camry?
It is a four-cylinder Camry, and it's an automatic.
Yeah. I think you have sticky valves.
Sticky valves.
Sticky valves.
Sticky valves. Sounds like a Christmas treat.
Yes, it is.
And when you drive a great distance, like from Arlington to Drano, Texas, you're going to heat the engine up enough to make one or more of the valves stick, and you will hear the cam whacking against the valve, which is not completely closed, and the engine will not only make a noise, but it may even run rough. And when it gets real bad, you'll begin to lose power.
Okay.
They should try putting a cleaner in, run a cleaner through the engine.
Sure.
Snap-on Tools sells this thing called the MotorVac.
MotorVac.
MotorVac, and it's a system that flushes out the valve train and cleans all the crud out of the valve train and frees up sticky valves.
Flushes out the valve train?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
There are chemicals, that the dealer may even stock stuff that you can add to your gas tank that'll help alleviate this problem.
What would you suggest? I mean, is there an over-the-counter thing, or is this a double-secret?
Well, the chemical might be an over-the-counter thing at the parts department, but you're not going to buy it necessarily at your local parts store. But you want to take it back to the dealership.
And that should be under the warranty?
Did you buy this from the dealer?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they're going to do this for nothing.
They are.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So in other words, they were just pushing me away because they don't want to mess with warranty work.
Of course.
Okay.
I mean, they were giving you what we call here in the Northeast, the bum's rush.
Oh, no.
I would go back to the dealership and make as much noise as the engine is making.
Yeah.
And they'll fix it for you.
I can do that.
See you, Michaela.
Okay, thank you
Good
very
luck.
Much.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Yeah, hello. This is Jed Smith calling in from Budapest, Hungary.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
You're really calling from Hungary?
Yeah, I'm calling from Hungary.
You really are. It sounds like you are.
What are you doing in Budapest?
What am I doing? I work for the United States Treasury Department, and I go around helping ministries of finance in Central Europe
counterfeit American
raise money in the international market.
I got it. Yeah.
Cool.
Interesting.
So what kind of a car do you have there in Budapest?
Under State Department guidelines, I was allowed to bring one car from the United States.
Oh, you live there?
I live here.
You're not just on a little junket.
I'm not on a junket. I've been here for 3 years. So.
Wow. Oh, so you brought your car from Washington, D.C.
They gave me a 20-foot container, and they said,
Fit it in.
You can take anything you want.
That fits in there.
And it fits in there.
Yeah.
And I'm from New England, and I like a good deal. So if I got a 20-foot container, I was going to use the whole thing.
Yeah.
So I brought a 91 Chevrolet Suburban over here.
The ugly American. Boy, don't you fit the description. You come over to Hungary, you take up 5 parking spots with your car.
Yep.
Jeez. Yeah.
But you guys laugh, but this thing is a great thing to have in Hungary because I know you guys are from Boston area, and Budapest traffic is just like Boston traffic. I mean, roads go, 9 roads converge on one square.
Yeah.
And the intimidation value of the Suburban is great.
Yeah, so what's the question, if any?
All right. This is the question.
Yeah.
It's a 91, 1500, so it's a half ton, 4x4, and I have the 6.2 diesel engine in it as opposed to the gas engine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I must have hit a rock driving down in Romania, or I start looking underneath the car, and it's dripping fuel for the first time.
Mm.
And the fuel is dripping right off the fuel pump. So I called my father back in Gloucester, and he went down to the local Chevy dealer.
Yeah.
Got me a pump, sent it over to Hungary, and I sat there with my Haynes manual out and grease all over my hands, and I put this new unit in.
Good.
Cool.
Good.
This is just the feed pump.
This is just the feed pump.
This is conveying fuel from the tank up to the injector pump.
Exactly.
Got it.
Now, I turn the car on, it starts right up, and it runs for about a minute. And then all of a sudden it starts going bucking away, and bam, it dies.
I love it.
And it's dead cold. And I suddenly started thinking, I said, oh, my God, you know, this thing has been dripping on in the garage for about 2 weeks waiting for this part to get to America, and there's got to be air in the fuel lines, and I've got to take in that air from the fuel pump and rammed it into the injectors.
Yeah, you did.
I did.
You did, yeah. It's all airbound.
It's all airbound. And so this is my question, and I'm trying to get up to Warsaw for Thanksgiving, so I got to get this thing started.
You might make it.
Is this the kind of thing where I charge up the batteries, and despite the fact that the manual says, don't do it.
Don't.
I give it a spray of starting fluid.
Don't.
Oh.
Don't.
Don't.
Don't. No. First of all, there's probably a bleed. I don't know anything about these. We don't let diesels in the building. But I'm sure there's a bleeder someplace.
There's a bleeder.
Yeah, and you may be able to even, in fact, you may be able to crack the line where it comes from the feeder pump to the injector pump.
Yep.
And you may be able to run the electric pump.
Put a coffee can under the place where you loosen the line.
And use that to prime the thing and purge the system of air.
Okay.
There's always the possibility, albeit small, that you have wired the electric pump backwards so that the injector pump's trying to pull fuel out of the tank and you're trying to push it back in with this thing.
No, but I think I got it in the right way.
I mean, from what you described, it's more likely that it's airbound than it is that you hooked it up backwards.
Yeah, I don't think I hooked it up backwards.
I don't think you did either.
I mean, I really followed the manual carefully.
Yeah, but I would definitely check that, though.
Yeah. Well, see if the fuel level in the tank is going up.
Exactly.
If not, you can bleed it easily.
Okay.
Well, Jed, hope you make it to Warsaw for the holiday.
Okay.
But if not, call us back.
All right. Well, thank you very much,
sage
guys.
Advice. Bye-bye.
Good luck, and thanks for calling.
All right. Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
My name is Ann from Cherry Hill.
Hi, Ann from Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
Correct.
What's going on, Ann?
Why is it called Cherry Hill? Are there cherry trees?
I don't know. It used to have cherry trees.
Not anymore.
No.
No, there's a highway there.
So
now.
Why don't they call it Barren Hill now?
They should call it Parking Lot Hill.
That doesn't sound quite as exotic. So what's going on, Ann?
I have a 2002 Buick Rendezvous.
Okay.
And when we took trips to my parents' house on the highway, I would notice that I was constantly raising the volume of my radio.
Ah.
And then as we, that was when we were accelerating. Then as we slowed down, I would have to do the reverse. So as the car went faster, the radio got louder. As the car went slower, the radio got softer, and I thought my hearing was going. I was thinking,
oh, really?
Actually, of getting a hearing test.
Huh?
Until one of my kids pointed out that, you know, it was a coincidental. As the car accelerated, the volume went higher. As it decelerated, it went lower.
Yeah, it certainly is an interesting. I have one question.
Yes.
Do you have an E on the end of your name, or is it just A-N-N?
I was waiting for that. No E.
No E.
No E. I wrote it without an E. I don't know why.
I did, too.
I don't know why, but I guess I must have known something.
See, this was my little ploy to make one of us think of something. Because I know that my brother has even less of an idea about
this.
No, whatever it is, forget it.
I've already made something up.
Okay, let's hear it.
Whatever it is, it's bogus. I can tell you that right now.
No, it isn't bogus. And when my brother hears it, he's going to say, oh, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
And you may, too, Ann. When you bought your car, you received in the glove box an owner's manual.
Yes.
Oh, I did. Therein
I'm
lies
just kidding.
The,
I opened it. I you, did open
you opened it.
It.
And if you read the section on how the radio works, you would find out that the radio has an automatic volume adjuster to compensate and to drown out road noise.
Really?
Yeah, lots of GM cars have this. So when you go faster.
He's right about this.
And the noise of the road and the engine and whatnot get more intense, it spares you the inconvenience of having to reach for the knob and turn the volume up and then turn it down. It does it for you.
They should have a warning note on your radio because I thought I was going crazy.
Yeah. It would be a good way to drive somebody crazy.
It sure did.
Yeah.
Can I get it turned off if I wanted to?
Yeah, you can. If in that same owner's manual, if you haven't used it to shim up a coffee table leg, there's an instruction in there on how to turn this thing off.
Okay. for me?
Yeah. And you can adjust it too. I mean, you can change how much it goes up.
You can make it get less loud.
You know what? I might have even turned it on by accident because I never noticed it.
You may have. You may well have.
Yeah, okay. You may have pressed one of those buttons that didn't mean anything. You said, what did that do?
Exactly.
By accident. I have a television set in our bedroom that I somehow made work in Spanish. And for the life of me, I cannot get this thing out of Spanish mode.
Maybe you can sell it down the street. Swap with somebody.
I know, man, I have unplugged it. I've looked at the book. I've pressed every button that it says to press. And it says, you know, has all the languages, French, English, you know, no matter what, back to Spanish.
Oh, my gosh.
But
are
I like it.
I'm in Spanish?
I'm learning Spanish. It's been very helpful, yeah.
Well, there you better. Go.
Yeah. Thank you. I love you guys. You're fabulous.
See you, Ann.
Thanks
care.
For calling.
Bye-bye. Now, look, I don't know if you remember, but last week on this very program, I introduced something that I like to call the puzzler.
The puzzler.
This ringing a bell with
yes,
you?
Yes, yes.
And do you remember the question?
No.
Well, all right. Look, the puzzler involved four digits.
Ah, four digits. Could be my IQ.
No, these were positive, not negative numbers. And it was about an equation that needed to be corrected. And we'll be back with the answer in just a minute.
Stay away from my Pinto. Gas tank's in the rear. Vega motor done melted down and Momney I can't steer. Firestone 500's got me crying in my beer. And every time I shut the door, well, my Ford goes into gear. Take this car and junk it, I can't use it anymore. The hood flies up, the trunk won't lock and I can't shut the door. I wish someone would tell me what I bought the darn thing for. Take this car and junk it. I can't use it anymore.
And even though crash test dummies sue to have radios removed from test cars whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a prison warden and need to send inmates running back to their cells.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the answer to last week's scintillating puzzler, which you, of course, forgot.
Yeah.
This was a nice, easy, short mathematical puzzler, and I told everyone to get a pencil and write down the following equation.
Oh, yeah.
76 equals 24. Now, that was obviously incorrect, and the challenge was to correct this equation so that it made sense by moving those four digits around, the 7, the 6, the 2, and the 4.
Yeah.
Now, I did say you could not introduce any new signs, no plus signs, no minus, no division, no does not equal sign. So you had an equal sign and the four digits, and that was it.
Yeah.
And I did say that, imagine that the four digits were written on four little pieces of paper.
And all you could do was move the pieces of paper
And the
around.
Equal sign is written on the paper, on another piece of paper. So you could move them around and make the thing make sense. So let's say you moved it around. So instead of saying 76 equals 24, what if you changed it to read 72 equals 46? Well, that didn't work.
That doesn't work.
How about 72 equals 49?
That doesn't work.
And you do
work.
That by turning the 6 upside down.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
And you make the 6 into a 9.
I like it.
But 72 equals 49 has promise
it
because
certainly does.
If you slide that 2 up, then you get 7 squared. And 7 squared equals 49.
Excellent.
Pretty good, huh? So who's our winner?
Our winner this week is Robert Munch from Warren, Michigan. And for having his answer selected at random from among all the correct answers we got, Robert is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com, with which he can get our CD called Once Upon a Car Fire, The Greatest Stories Ever Told.
Now, I should mention, these are true stories as told on the air on National Public Radio by us, and they involve almost no exaggeration. Would you agree with that?
I would say no exaggeration at all.
Is that an exaggeration?
It's almost not an exaggeration.
There you go, folks. Well, congratulations, Robert. You can get your copy of Once Upon a Car Fire at the Shameless Commerce Division of CarTalk.com. And if you want to try to win this week's puzzler, stay tuned because it's coming up in the third half of today's show. In the meantime, give us a call at 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys. My name's Mike. I'm calling from San Diego.
Hey, Mike. What's
going
on?
Hey, you know, my father and I have this ongoing battle. He lives out in the country, and I live in the city. Mm. And so living in the city, I've mastered the art of parallel parking.
Yeah.
And so he came on down to visit me a while ago, and he brought his brand-new Toyota Corolla with him.
Ah.
And he let me drive it. And when I was going to parallel park it, I was turning the wheel while I was parked.
No, I know. I can see it now.
Yeah.
He freaked out.
You turned it all the way, Mike?
No, I just turned it, and I started to drive, and he said, you're going to flat spot the tires.
You're going to what?
Flat spot the tires.
Oh, you turned the wheel before you started moving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that real?
He's that.
No.
Well, I suppose if you did nothing at all but sat there and just kept turning the wheel left, right, and didn't move the vehicle, yeah, you'd eventually wear right through that spot on the tire.
I mean, he is right.
Okay.
That you are wearing out the tire to some degree when you do that. Because think of it. It's friction between the tire and the road.
Okay.
And so the road beats out the tire, and you scrape off some little bit of rubber.
Huh. But don't forget, you're always doing it to a very different spot on the tire. You're not stopping. In other words, you're abrading a very tiny spot, the area of contact, but you're always doing it on a different spot on the tire, and I don't think you're really wearing out your tires.
I think you are.
I think you're not.
I think you are.
I think you're not.
And you guys sound like my father and me.
Well, I mean, it never hurts. If you have any room at all in the parking space, it never hurts to have the car moving at ever so slightly a speed while you're turning the steering wheel.
Well, I agree with that. On the other hand, I don't think I'd stay up nights worrying about
this. I wouldn't either.
And it's not going to affect the performance of the tires, right? I'm not going to be driving down the freeway and hear a flap, 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 flap.
No, according to you, my brother, you will, but I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so, but I'm sure we'll get hundreds of emails from the Tire Institute.
Oh, yeah. And
telling
they'll be on my side.
Well, the best part is that when we disagree, at least one of us will be right.
Yeah.
So when we get the letters, the other guy can say, nah, nah, I told you. But you'll be able, Mike, if we get any breaking information on this, we'll be sure to announce it on the show.
Thanks, guys.
See you later.
All right,
thanks for your call.
Good luck.
All right, you bet.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
My name is Alana, and I'm calling you from Rogers, Arkansas.
Alana with an A?
Mm-hmm.
A-L-A-N-A?
All right.
Where in Arkansas are you?
Rogers.
Not that it makes any difference to me, because I don't know a single thing. I couldn't even name you a city in Arkansas.
Oh, really? Well, we're in the northwest corner.
Little Rock?
Little Rock. That's 4 hours away from
here.
Hey,
I named a city.
There you go. I knew you could do it.
How about Selma?
No. That's Alabama.
Okay.
But it starts with an A. Anyway, Alana, what can we do for you today?
Well, I had kind of a little problem, but it was kind of scary to me. I have a Honda Civic that has 156,000 miles on it,
mm-hmm.
and I've been putting gasoline in my own car ever since we started doing that sort of thing. And what I do is I fill up the gas tank until it clicks off at the pump. I don't top it. Because
you don't burp it.
I don't burp it, okay?
Good.
Okay, so I filled the tank, and I didn't put the cap on right away. I just went into the station to pay my bill.
Yeah.
And when I came back, the gas was flowing out of the gas tank.
From the filler?
From my tank.
But you don't know where from your tank.
No, you mean right out the...
out where I put the
gas. Where you put the gas in.
It was coming out, you know. So I put the cap back on and I drove out because I didn't want to be, you know, involved. I didn't want to have that gasoline around me. And since then, it's never happened again. But I was just wondering what would cause it to have the gas, because I don't want it to happen again.
Mm. Mm.
Well, I believe what's going on here. Now, I have to ask a question first.
Okay.
And once I get the answer to that question.
I know the question.
Go ahead.
Was it a hot day?
No.
No, it was not a hot day.
Has anyone done work on the car because you had a problem with the car losing power at high speed?
Well, I just had the ignition switch replaced, or the ignition timer replaced.
Uh-huh.
A couple of weeks ago.
Oh, the igniter.
The igniter, mm-hmm.
The guys who put the igniter in, did they work on the car several times before they figured out it was the igniter?
No, I just described the situation where I had to keep the key turned all the way over
before
it would go.
And they knew what it was.
Yeah. And they said, fine.
All right, well, there goes that. I thought that if you had one of these problems,
good
that it was
question.
Possible
yeah.
that somebody, in an attempt to solve it, had drilled out the gas cap to allow it to vent to the atmosphere.
But
that gas cap you have is faulty.
It is?
Yeah, because when it's on there, it ain't supposed to leak.
No, she didn't put the
gas cap
in.
I didn't have the gas cap in.
What the hell were you doing paying your bill without the gas cap on?
I don't know. I've never done that before.
Weren't you paying attention? She said,
I'm still on Alana from Ken Rogers, Alabama.
Arkansas.
Oh, right.
No, she specifically said she didn't put the gas cap on until she went in to pay. And when she came out, the gas was pouring out the open, uncapped filler neck tube.
I got it. Well,
I wondered why you had a theory, and I didn't understand what it was.
Why didn't you give me a dope slap? Jeez. All right.
Whoa. Yeah, so now what?
Piston
Big
puss.
Brain.
Well, I don't know. I'm back to square zero
To square zero. Yeah, that's where I've been all the time. you see now the beauty of misunderstanding the question.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be all right if I answered that other question?
No, sure, fine.
No.
Well, I mean, there are strange dynamics inside the tank because don't forget there's air trapped in there. There are baffles. I mean, the tank is not just a container. It's not like the kind of a gas can that you fill up for your lawnmower.
Yeah, that's true. And the little flap does, in fact, prevent the air from getting out.
Okay.
So
the tank completely empty when you started this operation, or was the tank half full?
No, it usually is pretty empty.
It was pretty empty.
Fill it up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I suspect that some air that was trapped inside pushed the gasoline up the filler neck, and it's nothing to worry about. I thought it was leaking with the cap on.
Nope.
No.
And obviously that's wrong.
Yeah,
the cap would have been bad.
Okay.
The most obvious conclusion here is you put the gasoline in, the tank is full of air.
Uh-huh.
As you put the gasoline in,
I hate to interrupt, but you should have just said, it's been a pleasure talking to you,
okay.
And I hope we answered your question, but instead, you have to go off and try to explain dark matter. I mean, give it up. You've done a good enough job.
No. I mean,
Stephen Hawking doesn't go places he ain't supposed to. He knows when to stop.
He goes everywhere, man.
No.
He goes everywhere.
He knows when to stop.
I was going to have a disclaimer at the end, because I said was the most obvious conclusion to reach is that you put the gasoline in, and the gasoline is trying to displace the air that was in the tank, because the tank wasn't empty, it was full of air.
Okay.
And as you put the gasoline in, the air goes up to the top, up to the top, up to the top, and gets what? Compressed up there.
Uh-huh.
Then you pull out the nozzle, and you got compressed air sitting on top of gasoline.
Okay.
And so it doesn't like to be compressed.
And because the flap is closed,
where I was getting stuck.
It takes a while before that gas can get past the little flap.
Exactly.
And it takes about as much time as it takes for an ordinary cash transaction. Did you pay cash or did you charge?
Charge.
There you go.
Yeah, I don't understand it now.
No, charge is slower.
Charge is slower.
That's good. So it took longer.
Right.
That's good. So it took
good.
It took longer, and by the time you got out, the pressure had decreased and brought with it. Well, how does it decrease? By sneaking out that little flap
and
brought with
it,
some gasoline.
All right.
I think you're all right.
Okay. Well,
don't drive like my brother.
I really appreciate you calling. So.
See
you. Thank you.
See you, Alana.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Was it she that called us? Never mind.
Yeah.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello. You're on Car Talk.
Hello. My name is Richard from Malden.
Malden, Mass?
That's correct.
There is only one Malden in the entire United States. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah.
And
it's in Massachusetts. There are no Maldens.
And it's named after Malden, England.
No, Carl Malden.
Carl Malden. That explains our nose.
What's your name?
Richard.
Richard. Okay.
Okay.
What's up?
What's up, Richard?
I'm coming into possession of a 1965 Buick Special Wagon.
Oh.
V6 Automatic.
Yeah.
And it's in great condition. Always been garaged. It only has 124,000 miles on. And it's been 4 years. It hasn't been started.
Ah. That's too bad.
Well, yes. Yeah, so I need to know what to do before I crank that baby the first time.
Well, the first thing you need to determine is if the crankshaft turns.
Yeah. First, I have to tell you a little story.
Tell us a story.
I had a 56 Chevy. And for a long time, I couldn't afford to register it.
Mm-hmm.
And if I knew that if I left it at my brother's garage, he would have it sent to the crusher.
I had the crusher on call.
The crusher was on call. So for several years, I had it parked under a tree in my sister's driveway.
Uh-huh.
For 2 years.
Okay.
And then I said, I came into some money. I forgot where. I came into $1,000, which would allow me to register the car and insure it. So I say to my brother, geez, the thing has been sitting there for 2 years. I should probably do something before I start it. He says, don't worry about it. Stick the key in the ignition, turn it, just start it, and forget about it. Well, I, like a fool, why do I do this all the time? I took my brother's advice. I must have broken all the rings because the thing started smoking and burning oil, and it never ran right. I mean, this car emitted so much smoke.
See, how my brother distorts the truth. The reason, one of the reasons you parked it is because it was burning oil and blowing blue smoke, and you could no longer take the obscene gestures of other motorists and the little old ladies coming home from church flipping you the bird.
Okay, so I shouldn't take his advice. I should
don't take his advice.
I will say nothing else.
No. You're gonna tell Richard what he can do to prevent what happened to my poor Chevy. No, here's what I would do.
Okay.
I would, as my brother said, first you're gonna make sure that the crankshaft turns.
Okay. Well, the battery's dead, so I have to.
That's all right. You don't want the battery anyway.
Okay. I shouldn't be saying anything because.
No. You can interrupt
any time.
You don't want to use the battery because you want to do this very, very slowly.
Mm-hmm.
You want to get a nice big
breaker bar,
2 foot long breaker bar, and put a socket wrench.
Okay, I have that.
You got all that stuff.
Yeah.
And you want to turn it over by hand.
Right. And if you can't turn it with that 2 foot breaker bar,
then
it's closed the hood.
Yeah, it's not going to start. But it probably will. I mean, 4 years, I mean, what could happen? What you're looking for is rust could have formed inside the cylinders.
Right.
If it does turn, and it turns smoothly, and you get at least a couple of revolutions out of it, you're in good shape.
Okay.
I would then squirt some oil in each of the spark plug holes. In fact, I might even do that before I tried to turn it.
Okay.
And then I would change the oil. Then I would go buy a battery.
Okay.
Make sure there's water in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would crank it. You don't want it to start right away.
It so won't.
Don't keep your foot off the gas pedal.
Okay.
So you're going to let it crank for half a minute.
You should be so lucky.
No, it'll crank for half a minute. He's just put a brand new battery in it. And then stop for 10 seconds, crank it again for half a minute, and then set the choke, hit the gas pedal, right? The choke will close, and that baby will start right up.
Okay. And
now, if you want, you can skip a bunch of these steps.
Yeah, you can just put the key in it.
Put the key in it and start it up.
No.
How much gas is in the tank? The gas is probably junk by now.
That's what I was just going to ask you.
Yeah.
Yeah, drain out that gas.
It would be nice to get rid of it.
Okay.
And have you got a siphon?
I could probably get my brother to do it. Why should I drink it?
Why should you do it? Oh, you got an older brother?
Oh, yeah.
My sentiment exactly.
Excellent. Yeah, I would, if possible, get a lot of the gas out.
Okay.
And then put a couple of gallons of fresh gas in there.
Okay.
More important than anything, when you do get it started, if you do get it started, resist the temptation to rev the engine.
Don't ever rev it.
Okay.
Just let it idle for several minutes before you think about revving it up.
Okay.
I think it'll be fine.
I hope it is. I hope to use it.
Well, we hope to see you at Car Talk Plaza with it some sunny afternoon.
Well, I was by there the other day, so perhaps I will.
All right.
Good luck, Richard.
Well, thank you very much.
See ya.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, it's time to take a short break. You've been working way too hard.
So that means when we get back, you're going to, like, knock our socks off with this week's brand new puzzler?
Sure. Do it again. Try it. I can take it. Well, we'll be back in a minute.
I got a Cadillac that will not go, because the roads, they got too much snow. I got a 472 under the hood, but it looks like that just ain't gonna be good enough. I gotta put chains on the wheels, but then the paint's gonna peel. I guess the best thing to do is to sit tight and be right here with you.
And even though farmers eye their radios and eye their manure piles whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
Yeah.
Somebody sent me an email with the raw facts, I'd say. And I have sculpted this.
Oh, this is going to be good.
I'll give you the essence of it. Okay, you ready?
Did you, as we say, craft some prose?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. I did.
Okay.
I did indeed.
Did you craft any cons? are you going to con us with the prose?
that's more like it.
I like that. You're going to call us with the pros.
This fellow wrote the following. He said, a few years ago, I was in the service stationed overseas. Mm-hmm. And while I was there, I decided it'd be kind of fun to buy myself a motorcycle.
You bet.
So I did that. I bought myself a motorcycle, the intention being that I would drive it around while I was stationed overseas in Europe.
In Europe? Oh.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And when my tour of duty was over, I would ship the thing back to the United States. Mm-hmm. So while I'm at the motorcycle shop, the fellow, recognizing that I'm a serviceman, says, you're going to ship this thing back to the States when your tour of duty's over? And I say, yeah, as a matter of fact, I am. He says, well, there's something you'll have to change before you can drive this thing in America.
Mm.
And I ask, well, can I buy this thing from you? He says, no, I don't have one.
Hmm.
But you'll certainly have no trouble getting one when you get it back home.
And the question is, what country was he in?
Where was he buying the motorcycle?
In Europe.
In Europe. What country?
Oh, that
Europe?
Was my answer.
No, the question is, what did I have to change on this bike before it would be legal to drive in America?
Legal?
Legal.
It would be legal to drive in America.
Yeah. Now, if you
okay.
If you
think, I don't want to speculate here.
No.
Here
why,
and now.
Why speculate now?
Oh, no. I mean, I might come up with it and I'll drop a hint that we don't want anyone to know.
If you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a postcard or, better still, the deed to a tastefully furnished two-bedroom apartment in the 7th arrondissement of Paris with double glazed floor-to-ceiling windows, herringbone pattern hardwood floors, wrought iron balconies, working fireplace, 1.5 baths, and American-style kitchen. River views preferred, but not a deal breaker. And send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
MA02238. Or you can email your answers to us from cartalk.com.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, as always, if you'd like to question us, if you'd like to hold us for questioning, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-22-78-22-55-78. Hello. You're on Car Talk.
Hi. My name's Colleen, and I'm calling from Akron, Ohio.
What's going on, Colleen?
I have a 2001 Beetle, and it sounds like a rocket when I'm driving down the road. It basically sounds like an airplane taking off.
It does.
Yes. And
always?
Well, it depends on how fast I'm going.
Yeah.
But by the time I'm on the freeway, it hurts my ears. It's so bad.
Can you make the noise for us, Colleen?
I don't think it's humanly possible to make the noise. It's so bad it vibrates my car.
Let me make it.
Okay.
A little higher pitched.
Actually, lower pitched. It's not really
lower pitched.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And does it make any difference if you're accelerating or coasting? For example, once you get up to, say, 60 miles an hour, is the noise just as bad?
Yeah.
Coasting, it is.
Yes. And my father put it up on blocks.
Ah,
and
good
ran
place
it
for it.
To see what was making the noise, and it didn't make the noise. And then also, I had bought tires for like $75.
For four?
Yeah, they were used.
Oh, okay.
But they were from a wrecked vehicle, and I thought, well, maybe there's something wrong with the tires, but I just recently got new tires, and it's still happening.
And when you went to the tire place, did you mention that you had been having this horrendous noise that you couldn't account for?
I just said that it was making a lot of noise and that we thought it was the tires.
Oh, so you planted the seed that it was the tires and they weren't interested beyond that. I think what you have going on is a, in fact, I'm almost positive, is that you have a wheel bearing that's failing.
Oh.
And bad wheel bearings are difficult to detect when the vehicle is lifted up off the ground. Because
there's no pressure on them.
Right, exactly. There's no load on the bearing. The bearings are actually holding up the entire car.
Would it when I, like, if I wiggle the handle or the steering wheel, when I go left, it actually makes more noise.
Yeah.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah, because the bearing that's gone is the right front.
Okay.
Yeah, and if it's been going on for a long time,
yeah.
It's dangerous.
It's bad. You're gonna lose the wheel.
So no, because it's very dangerous. Because if the bearing goes, it seizes up, which means it stops turning, and it's like all of a sudden that wheel, the right front wheel, stops turning, and the other three wheels are going 60 miles an hour, and you would end up going around in circles and, of course, flipping over and going down that ravine or off that mountain that you got there in Akron.
No mountains in Akron, thank God.
No.
So have it fixed as fast as you can.
Okay.
And drive slowly to the place. But it's been going on for a while, I trust, and it's not it's not going to get any better. It's only going to get worse, and in fact, it's only going to get more dangerous.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
See you, Colleen.
All right.
Bye-bye.
We need all the listeners we can get. We can't have people dying on the roads.
No, well, we're responsible for enough of them. Never mind. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Dave. From Bemidji, Minnesota.
Say it again. Bemidji?
Dave from Bemidji, Minnesota.
Bemidji.
How do you spell it?
B-M-I-D-J-I.
Wow.
Yeah.
Bemidji.
And what state are we in?
Northern
Minnesota.
Minnesota. Bemidji. That is great. Wow.
Of course. Where are you guys from?
We're from Boston-y.
Boston-y.
So what's up, Dave?
Okay, yeah, look here.
Yeah.
You ready for a story?
Sure.
Okay. What I did is I came from the great state of Washington.
Yeah.
And I met a girl in the great state of Minnesota.
Yeah, cool.
Okay, and she wanted to go see Alaska, right?
Yeah.
So I says, okay, we'll load up the car, and we got no troubles, and, you know, we happen to have the finances at the time. And we threw everything into an 85 Cavalier.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, we drive across, and we get to Washington, and we jump on the ferry, and we go up and go up to Haines, Alaska, and we do Alaska and everything. She hated it, by the way. I says, why? She says, well, you know, it looks like northern Minnesota. Anyway.
Just a lot farther away.
Yeah. So anyway, we come back, you know, and we decide, well, hell, we'll drive through British Columbia and come down the Alcan Highway, the famous Alcan Highway.
Yep.
And we're coming down the road, and the car just overheats. You know, we got a lot of stuff in there now.
Yeah. All those treasures you bought up in Alaska.
Yeah,
and the
right.
Dogs. Don't forget the dogs.
Seal skins and what have you.
All right. Yeah, all that contraband.
And all those phony Cuban cigars. All right. So you're on the Calcan Highway, and the thing's overheating.
Right. And I'm the man. You know, I said, no problem. It just overheated. We need some radiator fluid or whatever, you know. I get out, and I go, Jesus, I can't get in the trunk because we got 8,000 pounds of stuff in here.
Cuban cigars.
Yeah. Well, whatever, you know.
Whatever,
cigarettes are good, too, you know. But so I pull all this stuff out, you know, and I get back to this little teeny toolbox that I thought would suffice once we left Minnesota, which is a, how do you call it, a lure or fishing box.
Yeah.
You know. And I got a crescent wrench and three different kinds of ratchets that have no sockets.
And you don't have any vice grips?
Nope.
Oh,
What kind of a Minnesotan are you?
So anyway, so I go, no problem. You know, we'll go up underneath the hood. So we pop the hood and look in there, and sure enough, the car just doesn't go. You know, it starts up, but we get it going. I load everything, and it won't go but 4 or 5 miles an hour. So we pulled over to this, luckily we found a gas station there, and spent the night there. Or no, before we spent the night, the woman walked, or my girlfriend, yeah, walked into the house there and said, do you mind if we stop here? We're not here to rob you, you know. And she says, yeah, no problem. My husband will come out and look at it in the morning. All right. So we spend the night. Here comes this guy out, right? And he goes, pop the hood. So what he does is he takes, okay, we got an electric fan, you know?
Uh-huh.
And he takes the wire from the electric fan.
Runs it right to the battery.
It runs it right to the battery.
There you go.
Cool. Yeah. All right. Now we're down the road, right? Okay. Then it overheats again. I'm going, geez. So I call my brother on Woodby Island, my brother Mike. You know, I say, hey, we're trying to get back down there. What's the trouble? And he says, what will it do? And I says, well, it just feels like it's clogged up. Feels like it's clogged up, you know, and it just won't do it. I put everything in it, high test gas and everything. He says, take a piece of steel, if you can find a piece of steel, and punch a hole in the Cadillac converter and grind it around in there and get rid of all that junk. And he says, that'll blow out of there. Right? So.
What? Yeah.
Am I wrong?
This is good.
Wrong. Are you kidding me? You're right as rain, man.
No.
Yeah.
So. I go back over there to the place where we're at, and I see an old campfire grill, and I grab one of them rails, you know, that are laying there, and I punch it in there with the tire iron, grind it all around. Boy, here we go, me and the old lady, boy, 65 miles an hour. Boy, we're moving now. Anyway, I get down to Washington on Woodby Island and talk to my brother. Hey, do you like the trick? Yeah, I says, we're great. Okay, we get back to Minnesota, and this wire, you know, it goes on and off, you know, and it doesn't work right. So I figure, what the hell? I'll throw a toggle switch on it. Well, uh-huh. I kept burning toggle switches off.
Well, what wire is this?
What, for the fan, you mean?
Yeah.
We're back to the fan.
Oh, you still got the fan Mickey Mouse to the battery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, well, I'll just run a wire from the battery up underneath the car. I drilled a hole up that beautiful car, you know. We got 350,000 miles on it, you know. So I says, well, I'll just put a toggle switch on it.
Uh-huh.
Well, the problem is the car starts up and everything fine, and all of a sudden when you turn on the toggle switch, the car goes way down, like it's really lugging hard. Now, did I mess with the computer, or did he mess with the computer in Canada, or what?
No, not really. What you need to do you still have that iron bar? You need to do the
use it on the windshield.
Yeah,
the computer.
Right
the catalytic. Now, I suspect that because you've been running this electric fan continuously for like 45,000 miles.
Well, yeah. No. The toggle switch turns it off when you go in to get something to eat or something like
that. No, I understand that, but otherwise it's running all the time. And it has been running, that same fan, for 300,000 miles, off and on.
Yeah.
But that's the original one.
And it's fried.
And it may be that you're pulling so much current, that's why you burned up the switch. And that's why now when you turn the thing on, everything goes dim.
Yeah, because it's sucking so much current. And that fan should draw nothing. I would forget the toggle switch. Because either you're going to forget to turn it on, or you're going to forget to turn it off.
That's why we got the toggle switch.
Yeah, but you could actually go ahead.
It's warm.
But you could fix this the way it's supposed to be fixed. You could replace either the coolant temp sensor or the fan relay, whatever it is that's making the thing not work.
It may well be that the fan's been running 24 hours a day.
Yeah, I would think that you might have to go to the junkyard and get another used fan for $20. If you want to adhere to this philosophy.
Okay. So what you're saying is get another fan, and the RPMs won't go down. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, you know,
this fan's just drawing so much current that you're imposing a huge load on the charging system. And
it's going to burst into flame one of these days.
And you're going to burn out the alternator.
Don't laugh.
He's laughing.
He laughs. See?
It would not bother me at all.
Well, you've gotten your money's worth out of it.
You certainly have.
Well, geez, don't I get a record for having a
we're gonna give you a record.
Cavalier for almost 400,000 miles.
Oh.
And the fact that you were able to affect two repairs on this car, with a ratchet with no sockets
and a piece of a barbecue grill.
And the Cuban cigars.
And the Cuban cigars. I mean, you deserve something. You deserve some kind of award, Dave.
All right.
Yeah. Any time during this trip when the car was malfunctioning, were you at all worried?
Yeah, actually, I did get a zit on top of my head.
Hey, Dave, anytime that car makes it to Boston, you give me a call and we will have coffee.
Me too.
Are you buying?
I will buy.
We'll buy you a new fan, too.
And I'll take it down on this and bombs. I'll get you a whole lifetime supply of fans. Thanks for calling, Dave.
See ya.
Bye. Don't mean to bother you.
Bye,
thank you.
Bye.
Now, there is a one in a million guy. There is a one in a million guy. Woo-hoo.
He was a lot of fun. Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David, the Calves of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Flau Blooper Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mayor, assisted by Connie Britchford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. And our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor.
Okay, go ahead. I'm ready for this.
Just back from the Worcestershire, jambalaya, fresh papaya, codfish pie, stolichnaya, mesquite fire, frequent fryer, a la playa, is John Pussy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our personal hygiene advisor from the Tokyo office is Otekashawa. Our ranch foreman is Hyman Old Cowhand. Our mother-in-law liaison is Stella Payne Diaz, who's married to our father-in-law liaison, Royal Payne Diaz, who are the proud parents of a teenage daughter, Sasha Payne Diaz, and a brother in the military, Major Payne Diaz, and a two-year-old, Ariel Payne Diaz, and they have a dog, Toto Payne Diaz, and a distant cousin in Mexico City, Jaime Royal Payne Diaz. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon, our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe, is you, Louis Dewey, known to the bookish sewer rats in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and remember, don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. We hope. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1243, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, bumper stickers.
Yeah, we want to know all about your favorite non-political bumper stickers.
Right.
Then with our pals at cars.com, we'll choose our 10 favorites and give you guys a chance to vote for the best one.
How about the one you put on my car?
Oh, yeah. I snuck one onto the back of my brother's car that said, I'm not wearing any shorts. It took him 6 months to figure out why all the old ladies were honking at him and giving him nasty looks.
Well, they do that anyway.
Share your all-time favorite non-political bumper stickers right now over at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even those stationery shops near the NPR building run out of resume paper right after we say it. This is NPR.